So I didn't start out our service by apologizing to you. And that's generally not the easiest way. I don't think any of my mentors said you should start out by saying sorry. And so I do need to say sorry, though. Yesterday was one of the best days of my life. I enjoyed it so much. I got a chance to be a place where you could have been with me. And I didn't invite most of you. And it wasn't because I don't like you. It wasn't because I didn't want you there with me. It's because I was lazy, because I forgot, because I get focused on a bunch of things. And I have a wife that had been reminding me for a long time. I have some dear friends in the faith that have been reminding me, and I kept meaning to do it. You know, you know that, right? I meant to. And here's what it was. It was called Mission Fest. It's a two-day, Friday and Saturday event where people get together. It's usually over in Bellevue, and there's lots and lots and lots of missionaries, lots and lots and lots of ministries that get together and talk about what God's doing all around the world. And I got blessed, and I held out on some of you, and it wasn't intentional, but it happened nonetheless. And so please forgive me. My wife is going to hold me accountable again. I have a group of people that will hold me accountable, and I'm going to invite you. It's free, and it's wonderful. And I learned some stuff that's got me unsettled, and I learned some stuff that's got me encouraged. I was reminded over and over again that Jesus is the only answer this world has. But we've tried a whole lot of things, and we'll continue to. You know, I learned from a guy who had such a seriously wonderful experience that most human beings would say was the worst thing that could happen to them outside of death. He was speaking to a group of people, not yesterday, but he was speaking to a group of people, and he had like some nerve damage in his ear, and his hearing went out entirely. Like the whole entire right ear and all the nerves and all that, dead. And he literally fell over. No equilibrium for 9 months. 9 months. And in that time, all he could do was crawl to the bathroom. Because, I mean, he just could not stand. He had to learn how to walk and all that all over again. But in those 9 months, he actually lives in, I can't remember what part of Montana, but he lived there, and he read 384 books in 9 months. That's not how I would spend 9 months. But that was what he could do. It's all he could really do. And he read them, and he read so much. There was no Christian books on that list outside of the Bible. He read about governments and empires and leaders for a long, long time. So much so that what he had collected and what he was speaking about when he was able to walk and get out and all that, Yale, Harvard, Oxford, wanted him to write a thesis, and they would give him a doctorate from what he had read. He read more than any of their professors had read. And he did it in 9 months. And he's a futurist, and he talks about this multipolar leadership where there's a bunch of world leaders, and then there's a bipolar leadership where there's just two world powers, and then a unipolar where there's one. And he said, out of the last 26 empires, and they were unipolar, they all have collapsed. And the 27th one, America, is about to. And it was very, very clear. And he was just like, and he's not saying that America's the answer, but unipolar is when the church grows the most. Unipolar is when the missions work goes nuts the most. It's the most stable for the world when there's one world power. And it's about to not happen unless some massive things shift. His answer isn't America needs to be great again. He does recognize that as a world power, we have become decadent the quickest. He also recognizes that there's been the most spread of the gospel the quickest. And he was profound in his teaching. And so today, I want to talk about how that could look in our country. We have this up in front of you, this reminder that Romans Okay? And this kid who hadn't been to church really much at all in his life, he asked his friend, "What's Romans? Who's the Romans? Those guys even exist anymore? What's the deal?" And he was like, "Oh, it's a letter to the church in Rome, and that church was divided," and he explains it to him. And so I'll just jump in on that conversation with you again. We're finishing this series today on Romans, and it says, "United we stand." Now, the rest of that is what? Divided we fall. And we will. Now, the church of Jesus is going to last forever. Jesus lasts forever. Maybe America will or won't. But I was sitting here just this morning praying and thinking and walking through this, and I wrote a note to myself, and I'm going to ask Brandon to read this note. This was in my office at about 7. Can you read that? I write in tongues, kind of. You pray for interpretation, see what happens.
Please, someone read John 13, 34 through 35.
Huh. Did we hear that already this morning? John 13, 34 through 35? It was out of the mouth of Casey. He and I didn't get together. I didn't say, "Hey, 2 weeks ago, hey, could you do communion? And here's exactly what I want you to say." I didn't say that to him this morning. I didn't come up and say, when he got up and did that, I was like, "Oh my goodness, that's the person who's going to read John 13, 34 through 35. They're going to know you're my disciples," Jesus says, "by what?
Love.
Love for who?
One another."
We start with loving each other, and that's such a hard thing to do. Because we got a lot of things that bug us about each other. Now, walking in love is what we're going to talk about this morning. But before we get there, here's some things that keep us from doing so. Pet peeves, irritations, irritants. Isn't irritations and irritants similar? I put them there twice on purpose. Because we got a lot of things that irritate us about one another. Annoyances, pains in the neck, hassles. There's so many things that bug us. Like a guy walking around a bunch and like he's a bunny on speed. I mean, he's just weird and it's hard for me to hear. Or a guy that dresses like this, or a guy that doesn't dress like this enough. Or a drummer that's so loud, it's like Jesus would have rose from the dead. If he didn't have the power of Jesus, he would have had that power of the cymbals, right? And so for some people, they're like, "Oh, there's just so many things that bug me about people. And there's so many things that bug me about church. And so it keeps me from going. I have a lot of irritants. There's a lot of hassles. It's so Sunday morning. It's such a bummer. Because that's the only day I have with my family. It's an irritant. I'll hit you on that podcast. Don't worry about it." But then we turn pet peeves, things that just bug us, things that irritate us, things that frustrate us, hassles, pains in the neck. We turn them into an offense. "Man, you offended me. That offends me." Now, there's some legit offenses that happen and they have to be dealt with. But these are not offenses. These are irritants. These are things we would do differently. And so I want to help us look at this morning. There's a difference between offense and opinions. And we get to have them. You know what? I get it. There's an old saying, you know, offenses are like bums. Everyone has them, and most of them stink, right? And everybody has that in their mind. I know Kathy's like, "Gosh, if you weren't like the lead pastor, you'd get fired." Who knows? I still might. I'd get you a job. All right, here's the deal. We need to talk about this, and we need to get at it. And I want to remind you that this is where we're actually aiming towards, walking in love. The unification of God's people is to walk in love. This was written to God's people. If you are a pre-Christian, if that means you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus, you don't recognize him, you're just here, you were reminded to come here, you came here because there's friends that invited you, you came here because I didn't have anything better to do, my car broke down out there and I came in here and wanted some gas money. I don't know what brought you in here this morning other than your legs, and I'm glad you're here. But whatever you came in here for, this was written to Christian people. And so what you're about to hear is how Christians are to walk in love. And they're supposed to get past this, and they're supposed to get past this, and they're supposed to get past this. And let me show you how that happens. Romans 14, 1. We're going to go straight here. We're finishing in the book of Romans. If you haven't read through it, please go back and read through it. If you don't have Bibles, we have black Bibles like this that are sitting underneath your chairs or on a chair like this one. It's for you. If you don't have a Bible, please get it, open it, read it, take it. We have it up on the screen. Some of you brought your own Bible. Some of you have a Bible because there's an app for that on your phone. Good job. And so here's a couple of things about opinions. This is kind of like the beginning and end of this section that we're going to look at on walking in love. Romans 14:1, as for the one who's weak in faith, welcome him. But not to quarrel over opinions. You know what that's like, right? I want you to come in so I can thump you over the head. Come on in because I want to beat you with truth. Come on in because I want to win in an argument with you. No, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. So somebody weaker than you, welcome him in. Hey, should I grab a different microphone? Yeah? You'd like that?
Thank you. Start rapping. Don't egg me on. Come on. So many people are like, please don't start rapping. All right. Yes, please. Back in the day when I was wearing my crown, being free, man, having none of them rules around. Yet me go through my life without authority, given every chance to enhance my circumstance. I looked well-rounded at first glance, but take a deeper look and see I was empty, falling prey to the sins that tempt me. There you go. Thanks. Before I forget, we have a meeting that you need to get to at 12:15, so let's go. Romans 14:1. As for the one who is weak in his faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. Okay? And then Romans 15:7. That was on page 948 in the Black Bible, page 949, right next door. Romans 15:7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Gosh, that just encapsulates walking in love. It's welcome. Welcome each other. Welcome as Christ has welcomed you. He didn't say, look, get your stuff together and you're in. My new and dear friend Bob is trying to teach me how to fly fish, and we've only been able to do it one time. But you know what he didn't do in all the things that he taught me? He didn't say you clean the fish before you catch them. Get it? You actually got to catch it. And for us, we're catch and release. I caught twigs. I caught, like, my back one time. But if I was to catch a fish, you've got to actually catch it, and then you clean it. Jesus has welcomed us as we are, but he doesn't leave us that way. And so we get to welcome people. And I got four reasons today that we should welcome each other. First one. God already has. God already has. You're a Christ follower. You've recognized that you desperately need him. You understand that you are the sick person that Jesus has come for. Did you call me sick? Yeah, because we are. We need Jesus. And it's okay. The cat's out of the bag. The secret is no longer a secret. So we'll find this in Romans 14:2-3. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. At this point, if you're not a vegetarian, you're like, tell you who the weak people are. Vegetarians. Says it in the Bible. No, it's like one guy says, I can eat anything. The other one's like, no, I can't. I can only eat vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. And let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. For God has welcomed him. Now, these convictions were serious to people. There was people that wouldn't eat based on the rules and the laws that had been passed down to Jews for years. And then there were some that were convicted because there was demons. And these demons were idols, and these demons were worshipped. And there was people that would sacrifice meat to idols. And that freaked out some people. And they're like, there's no way I'm eating that because I don't worship idols. And others were like, gosh, man, I love me a burger and I don't worship those idols. They're false gods. Hand over the beef. And they would despise one another because one's down for it and the other's not. They would judge each other. And for some of you, you're like, oh, I don't have any food issues with anybody. Okay. Insert something else then. Worship style, preacher style, childcare style. I'm not talking about if people are unsafe places. I'm talking about preferences. I'm talking about opinions, pet peeves. But we live in America, so we should be able to just kind of do what we want. And we can go to any church, and you know what? At this moment, you're blessed to have those options. But you ought not to kick people because they worship in a different way. They go to a different church than you. Much more on that later. So reason number one, that we should welcome each other, God already has. Number two, God helps us to stand. Back to Romans 14, it'll be 14:4. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? That just makes sense, right? You would judge somebody else's servant? That just doesn't make sense. Why would you judge somebody else's servant? Well, they're not doing what you would want them to do. They're not your servant. Are they doing what the master has told them to do? Because that's their job, not to make you happy. It's before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Do you see how this comes around? It's now no longer some master on this planet. It's the Lord, the master. Are they following Jesus? Well, not the way I think they should. It's not your job. Now look, I don't think we should ever walk away from speaking the truth and telling the truth and being gracious with each other and doing so. I don't think that we should avoid when somebody's decided they're going to flat out say no to God and they're one of his followers, that you would come alongside them and say, hey, hold up. That's not best for you. That's not how God has redeemed us. He didn't set us free so we'd go back into slavery again. It's good. But when we're talking about preferences and we're talking about convictions that have nothing to do with salvation and truly honoring God, it's just preferential, you need to remember that God's going to help that person stand. So these first three reasons, first two reasons, I'll give you the third one, that we should welcome each other. God already has welcomed us. God will help us to stand. And the next one is Jesus is Lord. Can you guys say that with me? Jesus is Lord. Does it have your name in the Bible under Lord? Doesn't have mine either. So Romans 14, 5 through 9. Thank you very much for clicking for me. One person esteems one day as better than the other, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. You ever seen this struggle played out? Try Sabbath, Saturday. That's the only day. It was good enough for Jesus. It's good enough for us. That's the true Sabbath. And other people are like, it's cute. But Jesus rose from the dead on a Sunday. So that's the Lord's day. And now that's the new Sabbath. So get in line, son. Not enough for you. You never really cared about that. How about Christmas? Christmas, December 25th, that's when Jesus was born. That's when the angels partied. That's when the shepherds were invited. That's when the world had a chance. And we do Christmas every single year on December 25th to celebrate Jesus. Sorry. December 25th wasn't even close to when he was born. It was probably April or March. So back off. And besides, you've turned the birth of the king of the world into some big, huge party and big, huge, consumeristic worship of selling and buying stuff and feeling guilty for not being able to. Hallmark, go to hell. Where are you at on that? Nowhere. We just have fun. We've had people leave this church for the month of December because they hate the celebration of that one day and how it's not honored all year round, or that it's a complete hedonistic celebration. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. You and I don't live for other people. We live for Jesus. We'll hear more about that in a minute. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. Are you ready for this? For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And you're not the Lord, and I'm not the Lord. Jesus is. It doesn't actually get any more muddled. It gets more clear. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Who's the Lord, church? Believe it? You live or you die to the Lord. Finally, here it is. We should welcome each other because Jesus is the judge. That means we're not. He's talking to the church. Your sins have already been judged. Jesus, as he was dying, said, "It's finished." You're either condemned or you're set free by the blood of Jesus. Now, many of us are like, "No, I prayed a prayer when I was a kid. I'm good." Look, the knowledge of who Jesus is, that he is both Lord and judge, that he's accepted people as they are but won't leave them that way, and that he helps us to stand and to grow in conviction, that ought to free you up not to be the judge of everybody. So Romans 14, 10 through 12. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it's written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So then, each of us will give an account of who? Not herself, not his self, not my children's selves, myself. You're part of a body. You have to give an account for you. Are you helping anybody with this, or are you judging people? You're terrible. You smell. You're wrong. Warren Wiersbe is one of my favorite teachers. I'm not sure if he's still alive, but I'm going to quote him anyways. Knowledge plus love helps the weak person grow strong. If you know better, rather than judging somebody, come alongside of them, filled with grace and truth like Jesus. Share the truth and do it graciously. Encourage one another. Build each other up. Look, show people the truth. Teach people grace. Model a life of following Jesus. Show them what God says about life, love, and liberty. Show them. Don't beat them over the head with it. Should you warn people? Absolutely. When Kathy and I were growing up, Tylenol was laced with arsenic. Nobody got on the news and said, "There's a major painkiller out there. We don't want to mention the name because it would be really offensive." No, they were truthful. They said, "Look, there's arsenic in that," and that had a huge hit on sales. But they were trying to save lives. You and I are supposed to be truthful and supposed to be honest and supposed to be kind and supposed to be compassionate all at the same time. You're going to need Jesus for that. But knowledge plus love helps weak people grow. Not just being smarter than them or just coming alongside them and love. I don't want to tell you what's wrong because that would be judgmental. That would be observant and helpful. Judgmental is writing people off, condemning them. "Nah, you don't count. You don't believe like I do. You don't see like I do. You're out." But remember, this letter is to the church. This is for each other. We already know that we're on the same team. Which team are you trying to build? Team you or Team Jesus? Whose side are you on? I'm on the side of truth. And grace? They go together. They're not equal opposites. So, Romans 14:13 says, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. Don't say, yeah, you're right. That would be so much easier. Just go for it. When you know that they're going to stumble and fall, help them. Build them up. Come alongside. Speak the truth in love. We're going to see this in Romans 14, 17 through 21, and then we're going to read Romans 15, 1 and 2. But I want you to look for building each other up. Building isn't easy. Building takes work. It takes teamwork. But you got to be committed to build up the other in marriage, in family, in church, and in this world. Do you know that he's given us the good news to share with the whole entire world, and we fight about it? We have a hard time building each other up. My mom used to say to me and my brothers, if you don't have anything nice to say, shut up. I'll say it like this. If you don't have anything nice to say, maybe you should just be quiet until you have something nice to say. Is it nice to say that somebody's wrong? Yeah, it actually is. How do you say it? Let's look at how we can build each other up. You got me on this? Clickathon, thank you. Romans 14, 17 through 5, 2. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. Look, I'm serving Jesus because I serve from love. I'm already loved. I'm not looking for it. I'm not trying to be approved. I already am by him. And so I live that way. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean. But it's wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It's good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. So we're going to stop there and jump to Romans 15, 1 and 2. But it's good to take care of people. It's good to put your stuff on the back burner. Well, I can have a beer. I'm not an alcoholic. You hanging out with somebody who struggles with that? Let it go. It's going to be water for you, right? Well, I just really want a beer. Really love me a burger. Got invited over to a vegetarian's house. Don't ask them, do you got any meat? We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. Wow. What if we live like that, church? Some of us do. Some of us struggle with it. Some of us aren't exactly sure how to walk in love as Jesus did. Well, graciously, he's given us his word, which today has come under much more chagrin and much more challenge than at any other time. They're like, eh, how do you even know? I'm just like, how it tells us to live works. And it's not how we would do it on our own. That's why I know that God is God and I'm not, because he knows what works. Check out Romans 15, 3 through 7. This is what we get to finish with. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. He took all of our sin on him. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus. In accord with Christ Jesus. That together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You guys see this? Endurance, encouragement, harmony with one another, in accord, together. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. One voice, friends, celebrating Jesus. I want to tell you to end the whole series with saying, be a Phoebe. Now, some of you are immediately going to go to friends and think about Smelly Cat and all that. Let it go. That's Phoebe's name, comes from the Bible. She was an outstanding woman, the very first person Paul commends in his final greeting. And I want to read this for you, and I want you to be like her. Romans 16:1. I commend to you our sister Phoebe. This is a commendation. This is a recommendation. This is an opportunity for people to see. A servant, a deaconess. And some of you are like, oh, what? Women. Women can't be in leadership. It's all over the Bible. Can't be in leadership. She's got a position. I didn't put her there. God did. God allowed it. God put her in a position of leadership. I don't fully know what it was. I wasn't there. But when you recommend somebody, commend somebody, especially in all of Paul's writings, he tends to start with the first person who actually brought the letter to the church. The very strong evidence is that Phoebe had been given this letter to bring to the church. Some even teach that she read it out loud. What? I'm not sure about all that. I'm sure that she's commended, that she was a deaconess, a servant of what? Of the church. A synchrea, or however I pronounce that. That you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints. And help her in whatever she may need from you. For she's been a patron, a protectress. She protected the church. Of many people and of myself as well. Carry the word in what you do. Live it out. Be a servant. Help others. Walk in love. Be a Phoebe. We have this really cool thing coming up in July where young men and young women, current eighth graders, all the way up through current 12th graders, have a chance to go serve in Mexico together. We want to invite you if you have kids in that age group. Now, if you have a current seventh grader, we love you. That doesn't include you. But current eighth grade and up, right in the cafe, there's going to be a meeting for this, an information meeting. It's important. It's valuable. Hang in there with us. Do go grab your kids, though, because they don't get to stay down there until the meeting's over. They're going to have to come up here. But I think this is a way for us to start spreading the news, building homes for people who did nothing to earn it. They're going to work alongside of people. They're going to help, but they wouldn't be able to do this on their own. That's grace. That's truth. That's walking in love. There's lots of ways for us to do that, and you don't have to go to Mexico for it. You got somebody you're frustrated with. You got somebody in your mind right now that it's hard to love, but they're a Christian, and you just ignore them. Stop. Love them. Reach out to them. Forgive them. Ask them for forgiveness. Start fresh. That's what Jesus does. God, I want to be like you. I like Phoebe. I think she's cool, but I want to be like you. I want to be your man. I want to be a husband like I'm supposed to, a father like I'm supposed to, a son, a brother, a pastor. God, I want to recognize you with all of my days. And I know that we're all designed for that. So I pray, Lord, for my sisters and my brothers. I pray that we would walk in love. I pray for my friends who have not yet come to you, that haven't acknowledged you as Lord, as judge. They haven't recognized that you're the one that welcomes those who don't deserve to be welcomed but need to be. God, I pray that they would come to you this very day. With all of what we have going on, may we, as your people, carry the truth, live it out, serve. God, may we even be like Phoebe thousands of years ago, and yet we're still reading about her today. God, you're awesome, and I thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.